Isaiah 43 verse 1. Just halfway through. Fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I don't know whether you have a tear-off calendar at home for Bible verses. We do in our house. And I think it was Tuesday or Wednesday. That was the scripture. Fear not, for I have redeemed thee. That was all it said. It's a lovely verse, isn't it? There's lots more to it, but I think that's the gospel, really, isn't it? Fear not. I have redeemed thee. Is that enough, surely, for us tonight? I wondered. We all have fears. We go to school, we have fears of bullies, we have fears of exams and pressures and spelling tests and maths tests, and we go to work and we have fears, and we have family, we have children, and they cause us fear. And the human race is marked by fear, isn't it? Fear of others, fears within, depression, society, how we all are, how we interact, how we don't get on, going into a shopping centre and being awkward about it, and mixing with friends and social groups and getting money and getting a job. It's all a fear. Thinking a man in the garden, suddenly he realised what he'd done. It caused him fear, and he hid himself. He tells God that. I was scared of you, so I hid myself. I was scared of what you'd say. And isn't it wonderful that God says this, fear not. That message is right through the Bible. God came and spoke to man in the garden. There were consequences to his sin. There's consequences to your sin and mine. But right through, you think of the disciples in John 14. Jesus says, let not your heart be troubled. Things were sort of disintegrating him. If there's somebody here worried, maybe Jesus would say that afresh. Let not your heart be troubled. What else does he say? You believe in. You believe on God, believe also on me. So if you've got a fear tonight, I would just ask you simply, patiently, quietly to listen. It's a lovely time like this when God says, be still and know that I am God. Gospel preaching is always a time of quietness, of peace. When we're all still, the kettle's not boiling, the computer's not on, emails aren't getting received. They probably are at home, but they're not here. Just absolutely calm and peaceful. And God says, be still. And just know. Know in your heart that I am God. And I've got a message for you. And it's simply this. Fear not. You see, you might have a fear about your own life. About what you've done. About where you've been. About your failures, about what gets you, about things that you loved and they didn't happen, about persons you loved and they've gone. All sorts of things cause us fear, cause us hurt. And God, in his grace, God, the Creator, I just love that thought. God, who is all powerful. You go down to the beach and you see the mighty waves, you see the rollers, the breakers coming in. That God who created that, that God himself says to you tonight, fear not. What a message. What a God he is. What have we got to do with God? If there's somebody here who isn't a Christian, I don't really know everybody here very well. Some of you know me better than I know you. Because you knew, remember me growing up, and that's terribly embarrassing. Because I wasn't the best of little boys, I believe. So my mother would tell me. But God knows you intimately. God knows you inside and out. God made you. Last week you had a preacher who told lots of stories, I'm sure, and I'm not very good at stories. And the story I had tonight is so old and been told many, many times and probably worn out, but it's just simply this, that God created you and me, and he has a right to us. And a bit like Jeremiah, who was told to go down to the potter's house to see that vessel that was being made in the potter's hand. And that thing that the potter was making was marred. It was damaged, it was ruined. And the potter made it again. He took that clay and he moulded it into something beautiful and good. Now, as marked by sin, you and me have failed and caused displeasure to God, our Creator. God has a right to you, has a right to you and me. And the story was of that little boy who made the boat. And he loved it and he treasured it. And it took him ages to make it. And his dad took him down to the riverside, to the river, and he launched the boat. And away it went, absolutely beautifully. But he lost it. And it wasn't until a couple of weeks later that he passed an old shop selling tat. And there, in the window, was his boat. And he went and he bought it. And he said, "Now you're twice mine. I made you, and I've bought you." And that's what this verse says. Because if our sins are troubling us, and they do, because we're made with a conscience, the grace of God, I think, gives us a conscience. And that conscience whirs and it stirs. It did with all sorts of people. You see their conscience affected. Persons that had done wrong. David, King David. Think of what he went through in those nights of, oh, what have I done? The depths of depravity that he went to. The damage that he did to family after family. Right down through the generations, what he'd done was wrong. And he realised it. And it was his conscience that was smiting him. And he went to God about it. But what does God say? He says the same to you. "Fear not, for I have redeemed thee." And so David can write those psalms with authority, with a clear conscience, that God had redeemed him, that God had met his need. David didn't know what we know. Because I want to tell you how God has redeemed us, how God has purchased us. And if anybody's here with a fear about what they've done and about their salvation, I'd like to point you to the cross of Christ. Because the work of Jesus was so complete and so wonderful and so powerful, so deep, so wide, so tall, so high, so great. That blessed one who went down to the bottom of the mountains, that one who has ascended up right to the highest heights of glory, that blessed one has bought you and bought me. And it's whether, as it says here, "I have called thee by thy name, thou art mine." That little piece, I think, should almost be separated. "I've called thee." Do you know God called me lots and lots of times? And I didn't reply. And I didn't answer. When I was growing up, I was privileged to be in gospel preachings like this, time after time. Numbers were big, friends were great. Oh, it was a whale of a time in those days. And I just assumed all was well. I knew the terms, it's just like Devon was saying earlier. Knew, remembered scriptures, knew Psalm 23, loved Psalm 23, had it on a bookmark. But you know, I didn't know the shepherd. I knew the psalm, but I didn't know the shepherd. And there was one time when David Bond was preaching in Sheerness, and he spoke of a poem, and he spoke of a black sheep in a field of white. And you know, God spoke to me. And I was that little black sheep. And the shepherd, he told us, went out into the darkness looking for that sheep. And the shepherd picked me up. And the shepherd saved me. Has he saved you? You see, I hadn't answered to God before. I thought I had. But have you? Have you actually spoken to God? Have you answered to that call? He's calling. Calling tonight. He's saying, fear not. He's not saying condemnation. He's not saying judgment. He's not saying this. He's not saying that. Yes, there is a hell. But it's for those that don't answer. It's for those that don't respond to this all-loving God who has given his very best for you and for me. I have redeemed thee. Think of that, what it is to realise that you're a sinner and your conscience is working away inside. And there's that need. Even Judas Iscariot, the one who betrayed Jesus, he had a conscience, didn't he? Says he was filled with remorse. You see, remorse, it stays in. I can't do anything about it. I've done wrong. I realise that. It just stayed inside his body. Repentance is something totally different. Remorse stays inside. Repentance goes outside of your body. And it looks to another. And it says to God, I've sinned. I've messed up. I've done wrong. And there's nothing I can do about it. And it looks to another. And it looks to the cross of Christ. And it looks to that one that was hanging there in agony and shame and pain, where he bore your sins in his body on the tree. And it says, I, by faith, accept what Jesus has done on that cross, that it was for me. And those sins that were put on him, they were my sins. And he bore them. And not only that, but he bore the judgment, the penalty from God, a holy and a righteous God. He bore that judgment from God. And he exhausted it. Blessed be his name. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Isn't that wonderful? Do you accept that? Do you believe it? Do you understand it? I trust so. I trust God will just speak to you tonight, and if you feel like you're still in your sins and you have a need, God says so appealingly, just fear not, because I've redeemed you. Imagine someone just coming to it right now, just realising, imagine what that would be in a gospel hall. Just coming to it that, yeah, I've done wrong. And God owns me. And God has a right to me because he made me. And God loves me. And I want an answer to my sins and to my history and to my what burdens me and what brings me down. What pressure. Like Pilgrim. That burden that was on his back. And then you come to God. And he says already, Luke 15, is it not? Fear not. You might have your spiel. You might have your story. God says, stop. Stop. Fear not. Don't say anything. I'm going to speak first. Fear not. To that younger son, he said, fear not. I've paid the price. I have redeemed thee. Thou art mine. Because you've realised you've come from that far country and you've answered to the call of God. He calls you by your name. It's lovely, isn't it? God knowing your name. So you can rejoice that your name's written in heaven, because God knows it. And God, if you believe in Jesus, your faith and your trust is in that finished work of his, your name's written in heaven and you can rejoice. And you can well maybe sing with triumph, sing the great Redeemer's praise. Just briefly, how has God redeemed us? There's a verse in 1 Peter. You've been redeemed not by corruptible things, as silver or gold. You imagine that. Silver and gold. They have a value and then it drops. Imagine if God had used that. Imagine if God had used something else. But Peter says, not by corruptible things as silver and gold, but by precious blood, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, the blood of Christ. That's how you and I have been bought and purchased by God, because he gave his son unreservedly, that all-loving, holy, righteous God knew, knows exactly the need of man. And he gave his very best. And that one who grew up, as we read of in the reading, didn't have a place to lay his head. There he was in that temporary manger. He had a place just temporarily as a baby to lay his head. But as he grew up, he didn't have a place. He didn't have a home. He didn't have comfort. Now I went out into that little anteroom. You know, there's a heater there. There's a comfort. There's a chair there. I wanted to write a scripture, which I've done, which was 1 Peter. In my own way, look for a pen, and as usual, don't have one. And there's just pencils and pens there. Every comfort for us, isn't there, in life? You think of Jesus. Think of him, the Creator God. He speaks to the foxes, have holes. He provides for creation. He provides for man. He provides for animals. Giving foxes, we live out in the countryside and we see the foxes' holes. You see how they got the intelligence themselves, just the little ones, just to dig and to build a den. God's put that intelligence there so that the fox can look after itself and eat our chickens. Foxes have holes, the birds of the heaven, roosting places. But the Son of Man, the very best, he didn't have a place to lay his own head. Oh, what was he doing here? What did he come for? What was the pain of Bethlehem? What was the temple and all the trouble? What was all this about this person, Jesus, walking this earth and getting abuse? And fearing, and persons wanting to kill him, and him having to go out of their midst, and so on. What was it all about? He went to churches, he went to chapels, and he spoke with power. He stood up to read the scriptures, and every eye was upon him because of the way he read, because he knew exactly what he was reading. What about Luke 24 and those strangers that were with him? They didn't have a clue for a while. And in grace he said, well, what things are troubling you? Maybe he would say that to you tonight. What's troubling you? And in his grace and his love, he lets you tell your story. And then he'll tell you his. And my dear friend, that's what I want to do just briefly tonight, is tell you about his story. There's a far greater story than the boy and the boat. There's a far greater story of a Saviour and his love. And it was that blessed one who stepped from Bethlehem, stepped out of the highest comforts of glory, came down to the coldness of Bethlehem, and walked 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 to a garden called Gethsemane. And think of the pressure on him then. And my friend, you see, the Bible says in Psalm 49, verse 8, redemption of the soul is costly and must be given up forever. The life of Jesus, I think he loved life here. He could say prophetically in the Psalm, cut me not off in the midst of my days. But redemption of the soul, for God to say these words, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. There was a cost. There's a cost to your sin. And there's a cost to mine. And I'm greatly humbled by that. That somebody paid the price for me. Somebody took my place on that cross. Somebody who was able to go. They went. I had a head injury when, a few years ago, and when I spoke to the doctor who was stitching up my wound, and he said, tell me the story, and I did, and I was cutting a tree and it all went wrong, and the family weren't there because I thought it was a good time to cut the tree down, and I didn't have a hard hat, but I didn't wear it, and I had a chainsaw. Chainsaw went one way, I went the other. It was a dog, a family dog, that licked me and woke me up. And I went inside to try and phone, but couldn't. Didn't know the numbers. 999. Couldn't work it out. I'd lost so much blood. And I was telling the doctor the story, and we were out in a remote cottage in the countryside. And I knew I needed help, but I couldn't work my phone. And I ran as best I could. I remember falling, I remember stumbling. I remember sort of coming in and out of consciousness. I remember crying. I remember talking to God. I remember having an impression of Jesus and the beauty and the brightness of glory of the Saviour that died for me and shed his blood for me. I didn't know anything of the agony that he went through, but I remember the pain that I went through, and I loved him all the more for that. Redemption of the soul is costly. And I told this man this story, and I tried to go up the lane. I couldn't. I fell again, and I went down, and somebody helped me. A neighbour helped me and found me. And the man that was stitching me, he said, "Do you know, you couldn't have gone that way. You couldn't, not with these injuries." He said, "You couldn't have done it. You've lost so much blood." He said, "You couldn't have walked that distance." I said, "I did." He said, "No." He said, "Somebody must have gone for you." And that's the gospel. You see, we should have been on that cross. They were our sins. Jesus was sin apart. He was perfect. But he was there, hanging. And dear old Thomas, he comes, doesn't he, when the Lord Jesus, in the night in which he was delivered up, and I was reminded of it this morning as we gathered round a table with a loaf and a cup and a box for the pennies. And Jesus said to Thomas, those that were gathered, "I'm going to give my body. This is my body given for you. And this is my blood that's shed for you." And it was as good as done, because Jesus had set his face steadfastly to go to Jerusalem. And in that garden of Gethsemane, the pressure was on him, because he was a real man and he felt it. But oh, how he loves you. Yeah, he loved you. And he loves you. And he loved you enough to go to that cross and to carry out what God had asked him to do and what he himself was willing to do. And that was go to that cross and to bear your sin and mine in his body. And he's done it. And so God can say, "I have redeemed thee." Jesus can say, "I've paid the price." And he hung on that cross and he bore your sin and mine. And when Thomas comes to him, when Jesus was taken off that cross, Jesus was put in the tomb because Jesus gave his life for you. And he shed his precious blood. And that's what Peter says. It's not silver or gold. It's the precious blood of a lamb without blemish. That's what has purchased you. It's that. And it's that precious blood that Thomas said, "Really? Seriously? I can't believe it." And that's what it is. Don't go looking to a religion. Don't go looking for good works. Don't go looking for anything else, because that won't redeem you. Just accept that what God has done in Jesus and what Jesus himself has done is the answer to your need. "I have redeemed thee." And Thomas, he just reached out and he touched the side of Jesus. I'd love to know if he said anything as he did it. He put his hand into the side and he felt the marks in the hands of Jesus. And he comes up, "My Lord and my God."
Amen.
That's worship, isn't it? He realised that his body had been given for Thomas, and his blood had been shed for Thomas, and he's just bowed in awe that he's got a place in heaven because of what Jesus has done. He's not going to hell, because hell is real. Hell is a real place, and it's a place of weeping, place of gnashing of teeth, it's a place of regret, it's a place God has given man what he wants. Because man has said, I don't want you, God. And all the heart of God must ache when persons die in their sins because they've rejected Christ. And all that fear that they have, that pain, that torment, Jesus bore it on the cross. But they don't accept it. Yet God has called them, but they haven't answered. So, can you say, or could God say to you, thou art mine? Can he? Children, how many times have we told you? Simply believe. Simply trust. Trust him. That's what our brother said. Trust him. That is all. It seems too simple. That all redemption of the soul was costly. It was great. But it's simple for us just to lay hold in faith of what Jesus has done and what God is offering. Free salvation, but such a cost. Might you come? Might you know it? Might you prove it? Might you have all fear taken away? Fear, you see, because Jesus went into the grave and he's come out victorious. But so when we bury a loved one, we speak of all terror removed from the grave. Why? Because Jesus has been there and he's broken the power of death and he's risen and he's ascended and he's glorified. And he's loved and adored up there, and he's loved and adored by lots of people down here. But are you among them? You can be. There's no block, there's no barrier right now. If Jesus comes tonight and you're left, there will be a block. There will be a barrier. You remember when Noah went into the ark? He says, God, shut for me. And the day of mercy is coming to an end. And we don't know when it is.
Yeah, no.
Run.
Very near.
Very near. Run. Run quickly. You remember the hymn? David Bond, sorry to keep referring to David Bond. The hymn the brother gave out. And I'm not going to give it out, so don't find it and sing it. The night I was converted, he gave that hymn out. Why wilt thou longer wait? Haste to the open gate. Old friend, haste. Run quickly. God's removed every fear for you. If you don't think it's enough, just look again at what Jesus did on Calvary's cross. Just look at the hands. Look at his face. They pulled the hair from his face. They put a crown of thorns on his head. They nailed his feet. They whipped his back. They buffeted him. Every part of his body was bruised and hurt. Just remember that. So if you think that wasn't enough, remember that Jesus gave everything. He gave his whole body for you. And his blood was shed for you. He couldn't have given anything else. And God was satisfied. God's satisfied with Jesus and the work that he did. So satisfied that he raised him. Raised him from the grave. Because of the work of Jesus was so complete. And so redemption. Salvation. Can be yours. And can be mine. Or maybe I've wearied you all enough. But I love Jesus. And I'd love you to love him too. And God would want that. And I just ask it of everyone. Put your faith and your trust in Jesus tonight, for his name's sake.
Amen. Amen.